Matthew chapter 5. The message today is some of Jesus' thoughts about prayer. Most of them in Matthew. Look at verse 24. I'll read part of this verse. They had heard that they should love their neighbor and hate their enemy. But Jesus says unto them, love your enemies and pray for them that persecute you. In chapter 6, verse 2, sound like a trumpet, verse 5, and when you pray, you shall not be the hypocrite. They love to stand and pray in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. Now, look in chapter 6, verse 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven. We are familiar with our Lord's teaching of that. Chapter 7, verse 7. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Now look at chapter 9. Verse 36. But when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion, because they were distressed and scattered as sheep, not having a shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest indeed is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he send forth laborers into his harvest. Chapter 24, he's talking about certain ones in the future that has grasped the principles. And they see the abomination of desolation, flee to the mountains, and then it says in verse 20, and pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on a Sabbath day. In chapter 26, verse 40, our Savior has been praying in the garden, and verse 40 says, and he cometh unto the disciples, and findeth them sleeping. And saith unto Peter, what? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And I will quote you the one from Luke 21. It says, but watch it every season, making supplication that you may prevail to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we are thankful that thou dost teach us about things that not only pertain to our senses, but our spirit. Let us know that we are aware that there is the existence of something outside of ourselves, something more than we can see and touch and experience in the physical way. We are glad that your Son has told us some things about this area of our being. We desire that the Spirit of God would illumine us concerning these things. Does not your word say that when the truth is spoken, it is not to be spoken in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance? And that is the way that we desire to be spoken today, and for the heart of man to take heed to the word spoken. Grant us that, Father. We confess our sins, be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. I spoke about something other than what we can see and experience in a physical way. that is the spiritual world. And one of those things is God and man praying to God, though he's never seen God. Something innate tells him that there is a God and that he is to pray to God, to give thanks to God, to cry to God in his need. These things are innate in man, and they can be suppressed, but they are there. And it says that it was a time when man, knowing God, glorified him not as God, neither were they thankful. He knew God, and then his senseless heart is darkened. But the heart of man knows that there is a God, and the heart of man knows that God is to be thanked and worshipped, and God is to be petitioned for the things that are needed. It says this, so soon in the existence of man, we have Adam, and then we have his son Seth, and then we have his son Enosh. And it says, then men began to call upon the name of the Lord. Isn't that remarkable? It only took 2 generations after the creation of man, and man began to call upon the name of the Lord. Why? He'd been driven out of the garden. Man at that time was not conversing with his creature as he did with our parents in the garden. But it says this, that having conversed with the first generation, that is Cain, he spoke to Cain, then we are not told that he spoke again to them, but there were those like Enoch who walked with God, but there was something in man that knew that there was a need to call on the name of the Lord. And so for that reason, the Bible does not explain to us about prayer any more than it explains to us about God. It takes it for granted. In the beginning, and it doesn't go into a theological discourse explaining the existence of God, it says, in the beginning, God created. It takes it for granted. And in like manner, you are a creature, and it takes for granted the spiritual needs that exist in your life, whether or not you are willing to acknowledge them, and you eventually will cry out in your soul and call on God, just as they did as soon as Seth had a son named Enosh, and then men began to call on the name of the Lord. And so the Savior does not say, I'm going to tell you a new thing. I'm telling you a mystery. There is a God, and there was such a thing as praying to God. Man has known that all along. If your children are sick, I know what you parents will do. You will pray to God. You may be an atheist, but you will pray to God. Why? Well, because there is something in you that says that when a need exists, you will pray to God. And you know that. Just as Peter, that independent soul, when he was drowning, Lord, save me. There are things that come out of us that we did not know were in us. And men began to call upon the name of the Lord that early in the history of man, and they still are calling upon God today. And perhaps what's wrong with your life is that you are not calling upon the name of the Lord. As you read literature, and as you see men in so much trouble, I've noticed this today, that there is the absence of God. Immediately, when trouble arises, I'm glad that God is a very present help in time of need. I'm aware of that. But in the literature and in the media of information that goes around, you do not read about praying to God as if he could meet our need. That doesn't enter our thinking. But it is there. And if man would allow it and would not permit it to be driven out of his thinking, then he would pray to God and the relief would come. We sorrow not as others who have no hope. We sorrow, but there is a consolation for our sorrow. There is the living God, and underneath of the everlasting arms. And so the Lord Jesus never tells us about a new thing, about praying. We need to be taught how to pray. But we do not need to be taught pray. We know that that is something that we should do. And I've read you a few of the thoughts of Jesus about prayer. Now, I did not dwell on what is known as the Lord's Prayer for the simple reason that I wanted to bring out that individual petitions our Lord requested of his followers, even though they did not ask him about them. Sometimes they asked him things. They said in Luke 11, Lord, teach us to pray, and he taught them to pray. But there were other things he taught them about prayer, and they never asked him a word about it. And some of the things he taught them were from his personal observation of the most praying nation in existence, the Jews. In their ceremony of approaching God, they would give to God. They would pray to God. They had this communion with their God, and they had a magnificent temple in which to meet with God. The Lord Jesus watched them in the temple and in the marketplace. He watched the things that they did. And he noticed this, that when they were going to give, they had a trumpet blown so that everybody would pay attention. Not literally. They did not have a trumpeter to come along and say, now I'm about ready to give, blow that trumpet. And there was all of this outward ostentation. And the Lord Jesus saw that and he said, will you give him to God? Because giving is an act of worship. With such sacrifices, God is well pleased. He said, we are not to have an ostentatious display of what we are doing for God. Notice, the Lord Jesus is teaching these things because of what he sees wrong in the behavior of men. I wonder how much he could teach us if he looked up about our prayer life, the way that we did things. So many times as I go around, I say, will they never learn? Some people never learn about a remembrance meeting. They don't know what it is. They've never learned about the nature of it and about giving. I remember being at one place and what they did was this. If anybody was going to give money, they would walk up to the front and put it in the collection plate. And the preacher would look at it and see how much they gave, and he would announce how much money they were given. People, that sort of thing. And if the Lord Jesus saw it, he would say, that is blowing the trumpet. And in like manner, you see, I'm going to pray. Is everybody paying attention? Are you looking? Now let me assume this higher attitude, you see. And the Lord Jesus said, that's not the way to do it. You're not to display yourself when you pray. You're not to pray so that men hear you. But there is a point. They have to hear you. I heard something in the paper. I don't know. You can't hear anything that they say. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14, how can you say amen if you don't know what the man is saying? Not only in speaking in an unknown tongue, but if he doesn't speak audibly in the English tongue. I've heard some say, our Father. And after that, I don't know what else they're saying. But when they get through, I'd like to say amen. But I haven't heard what they say. He may have been praying for something that he should not have been praying for. But the Lord Jesus says this, that while we are not to pray in an ostentatious manner to display ourselves, yet at the same time, if we pray publicly and if we pray representatively, let us pray so that we can be heard and can be understood. But the Lord Jesus said, it's not necessary. You don't know whether I prayed this morning. I'm not going to announce it to you, whether I prayed this morning. But the Savior says, when you pray, enter into your closet and pray unto God in secret. That's remarkable. But then people wouldn't know that I prayed. The Lord has been concerned about that. He says, you enter into your closet. So these are his thoughts on prayer. And so prayer, though men ought to hear and ought to understand and be able to say amen, when you pray publicly for them, it is not to display yourself. And at the same time, there are some who use vain repetitions, who, if you call on them to pray, you can forget the time element, it'll go on and on. I've been at the prayer meeting, and what is so sad, one brother will get up, and a third or a half of the prayer time will be taken up by him. And many times, it's the fault of the other brothers, because they just sit there and they won't pray. But if you have 15 or 30 minutes to pray, and you have many brethren, let your prayer be brief. But here is one who uses vain repetitions. And notice, I'm telling you negative things the Lord says about prayer. Why does he say negative things? Because he saw these behavior traits in those who were praying. Do you give? You say, that man shouldn't have blown the trumpet when he gave. Let me ask, do you give? At least he was giving. He blew the trumpet. He didn't give in the right way, but he was giving. And that man, he was just saying himself when he prayed. Well, do you pray? At least he was praying. And that man, he went on and on and on. Did you have even the briefest prayers, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift? So while the Lord Jesus is telling us negative things about prayer, he also tells us positive things. And simply, when you go home, think of the positive things. When you pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And you know the rest. That's the way to pray. Who can improve upon it? How complete, how brief. And that is our thought about prayer from our Savior. That's the way to pray. He said it once without being asked, and then he said it again in Luke chapter 11. But notice, these are general things. When ye pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven. But there were other times that he appealed to his disciples, not in a formal way, but in an informal way, on the spur of the moment, because of existing conditions. The Lord Jesus came from heaven to seek and to save that which was lost. And he started out with John the Baptist, his forerunner, and there was he that made two. And who were the others? There were two. But then the Lord prayed all night and chose 12. But with the 12, he says this. He looked and he saw the multitudes, and they were distressed, and they were a sheep not having a shepherd, and he was moved with compassion. And he wanted to share this compassion with others. He said, the harvest indeed is plenteous, but the laborers are few. He said, you pray that the Lord of the harvest sends those laborers into the harvest. That's a request of the Savior. So if you say, what shall I pray about today? Well, think of the Lord's Prayer, first of all, if you cannot think of anything to pray about. Think of that. And after that, think of these individual things I'm going to tell you about that the Lord told us about. And the first one is this. The harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Well, he said, pray. Pray that the Lord of the harvest sends forth laborers into the harvest. This is what is to happen. If you look on a lost world, the first thing that is to happen is that you are to be moved with compassion. And the second thing is this. You are to pray to God who can do something about it. I would have thought this. Who can pray to God better than the Lord Jesus? And who did pray to his Father more than the Lord Jesus? But he said this. He said, you pray that the Lord of the harvest send forth laborers into the harvest. Isn't that a remarkable thing? That the Lord Jesus wants us to join him in prayer about things that need to be done. I would say, Savior, your prayer is sufficient. And you would not contradict that. But he says, I want you to pray as well. Now, this is the first subject. and I'm going to develop it a little bit. I'll tell you about the other subjects, and then develop them a little bit, perhaps. But notice, he said, first of all, you are to pray for the blessing of others. In the Lord's Prayer, give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us. But here, you are praying for others. And so, this is an accessory prayer. There is a prayer when you praise God, you're giving to Him. There is a prayer when you ask something for yourself. And then there is a prayer when you ask something for others or you intercede on behalf of others. As it says in 1 John chapter 5, if any man see his brother sin, he shall ask. That's spontaneous. You see someone sin, and immediately, I want to rebuke him. And at times, that is in order. But it says, if any man see his brother sin, he shall pray. Most others will rebuke, will criticize, but the scripture says, pray. And that's what the Lord Jesus did. He saw an existing need. If a brother sins, that's an existing need. He needs prayer. And if you see a lost world, and it's not filled with laborers, the Lord Jesus says, pray that the Lord of the harvest send forth laborers into the harvest. It's just that simple. You see them, and you are to feel compassion for them. And then the compassion is to be converted into a prayer to God, that God raise up laborers that may go and minister to the needs of those sheep that are scattered and without a shepherd. You say, well, in prayer is such a simple thing. It is praying for what is evident, and it is praying for the meeting of the need of those that have no one to give them comfort and salvation and truth and life. And that's why the Lord Jesus says that we are to pray that the Lord of the harvest send forth laborers into the harvest. All right, what is this subject? Now understand, he is told us, you have the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Well, they're lost. Let them remain lost. The Savior says no. Which of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one, will not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go and seek that lost sheep until he finds it? That's the thought of the Lord Jesus. If one is lost, he's going to seek it and find it if he can. You find it in Matthew 18 and Luke 15. And so here are lost ones. And the Savior has compassion, and he does not want them to remain in that condition. So there is the compassion, and when you have compassion, then you have prayer. You pray to God that something be done about it. Understand this, first of all. The ones that were to pray were already laborers in the harvest. Do you understand that? What about a man who says, there is a great need of laborers. I'm going to pray that God will send forth laborers into the harvest. How would it enter your mind? And you are not going to labor in the harvest. Don't you see that contradiction? The one that he says to pray for laborers are ones that are always laboring, already laboring. Because Peter said this, Lord, we have left all and followed thee. What shall we have? And the Lord told him what he would have. They left the net, they left the boat, they left their father, and they followed the Lord Jesus. And he said, and if you follow me, I will make you fishers of men. Fishers of men. So they were already laborers. And so the ones who are to pray for more laborers are those who are already laboring in the harvest. And if you are not laboring in the harvest, and you say there are so many lost sinners in the world today, then you may individually be a laborer in the harvest. It doesn't have to be a formal thing. It doesn't have to be a missionary sent for. But you can be a missionary. You can be a laborer in an indirect way, as the woman was in John chapter 4. Come see a man who told me all things that ever I did. You can do that. You could be like Legion, who was delivered from all those demons. The Savior said, you go home and tell your friends and your neighbors what great things God has done to you. And he went home and told them, and all men marveled. You see? So if you are thinking that the harvest is plenteous and the laborers are few, and you want to pray to God to send forth laborers, you be sure that you, in a small way at least, are a laborer. And you seek to reproduce yourself, because the fruit of a believer is another believer. And then the fruit of a teacher is fruitfulness in the understanding and the minds of others. But let us be obedient to our Savior. The Savior wants souls saved. Please understand that He is not like those who say, if they're going to be saved, they will be saved. And if God wants missionaries sent to them, He will send missionaries. The Savior says, pray that He send forth labor. I would say this, Jesus has prayed. God knows better than I do the need of the world. Why should I pray? Because, in a word, He tells you to pray. He tells you to pray for the things that He knows and you know need praying about. If you say, well, God knows it and I know it, why should I pray about it? Because that is the way God teaches us to bring about results. One man learned that, an Oriental learned it. And he said, why should we pray? He said, because that's the way God teaches us to get things. That's why. And so, why should I pray that God send forth laborers into the harvest? Because the Lord Jesus said, that's the way we get laborers sent into the harvest. It's just that simple. Now, if I challenged you, I wonder if any brother could give me one scripture, specific scripture, where we are told to pray for the lost. Not indirectly, but one specific scripture. Does any brother know one? I will give it to you. There is only one. In Romans chapter 10, brethren, my heart's desire and my supplication for God for Israel is that they may be saved. That's all that you need. Israel was lost. And Paul said, my heart's desire, that's the compassion, and my supplication to God for them is that they may be saved. You say, there it is. Why, of course. And we have verses like this, and I'll bring this to your attention. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, I exhort therefore, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercession, thanksgiving be made for all men, for kings and all that are in high place. And eventually it says, because there is one God and one mediator between God and man, who would have all men to be saved, but that's indirectly, but in your prayer and praying for men, then you pray as Paul prayed for Israel, that they may be saved, then we have to pray for the lost, that they may be saved. And others would say, but they're chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. Pray that they may be saved. If they're going to be saved, they will be saved. Paul says, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. He said, I pray and I endure. And this is God's way. You say, well, who can understand it all? In the last meeting, when the glories of Christ, the love of God, the sacrifice of Christ for our sins was brought to our attention, it above all of us. But we still enter into it as best we can. And if the Savior says, pray, and you say, I do not pray unless I thoroughly understand what I'm praying about, you never talk with the Savior that way. He said, pray. All right, I've mentioned that, and I would bring this to your attention. Please notice that here it's the salvation of the lost. And we have to pray that something is done about it. That someone go and tell the lost how to be saved. The way that Philip did in Acts chapter 8. Here is a lost Ethiopian eunuch. And the Spirit of God says, go tell him. Go help him. And he explains to him Isaiah 53. You see, there is a laborer that goes forth, and he tells that man how to be saved, and the man believes on the Lord Jesus while he's talking to him. That's what is being spoken about. But I must leave that and tell you this. There are other things concerning not only the salvation of the lost, but conditions. The Lord says to pray about them. This is a strange, scripture, a biblical scripture, about people in the future, and I'm bringing it to your attention so that you will understand that prayer is to be prayed about those things. Concerning those that are in the tribulation, it says, pray that your flight be not in winter. Well, I thought the tribulation days were already set. I thought it was known exactly when it was going to happen. Well, why did the Lord say, pray that your flight be not in winter? Is he telling us to pray about something that others would say, you need to pray about that. Don't you understand it's already laid out? The Savior isn't going to tell you to pray about something that should not be prayed about. And he says, also pray that it be not on the Sabbath day. Why? Because there were restrictions. There were the gates that would be closed. There would be prohibitions, forbidding things that you could do, impeding your progress. And the Lord says, because of that you pray that it be not on the Sabbath. And I will simply bring the scripture to your attention. It says, Elijah was a man of like passions with us, and he prayed that it would not rain, and it did not rain. And he prayed again that it would rain, and it did rain. You see, condition, time, the element, the Lord says, pray about them. And we pray about them because there is the possibility that they will be changed. And these other verses I read to you, think of what Christ tells us to pray about. Understand that the way to change them, to bring blessings, is to pray. So, let us be those that heed our Lord's exhortation. Time is gone. Let us pray. And Father, we marvel that you tell us to pray about things that seem to be beyond our power, but then you told us that they are not beyond your power. Did not your Son, when he was roused from sleep, say, peace be still, and there was a great calm, though a storm was raging? We are thankful that as he was spoken to and the storm was still, there is a God in heaven who can do something about the world being filled with lost sinners, who can do something about the conditions that exist, the times, the seasons. And as thy Son said, pray, we would pray, our Father. Increase our faith that we might believe that something could be done. But our Father, the things that can be done, we pray to thee, do them. Lord, teach us to pray. In thy name we ask these things. Amen.